It's the Mac Attack. It's the Mac Attack with Brian McKinnell on 920 The Game.
If you want to be on in a funny place, and this is one of those funny places, and if for another place and it's not as funny, you think, I mean, why am I in that place? What I wanted to be was in a funny place, and boom. I mean, I'm out of it right now, Dave.
Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69, like I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding. It's something I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game, Pro Bowl back-to-back, 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? I would not be playing Madden 20, period.
It's the Mac Attack with Brian Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, greatest intro ever, or close to it. Courtesy of Nick Nice over there. Madden is in the news. Welcome into the Mac Attack, by the way. Ryan McKinnell here. Got Nick Nice across the way. Little preempted by the Aviators. Hey, Aviators, if you're going to preempt my show, at least go out and get the dub, boys. Damn. 2-0. The hands of the Tacoma Rainiers. Actually, that's all right. I'm only poking a little fun at our friends over at the Aviators because, as you heard our pal Russ Langer over there state, the Aviators have the number one offense in minor league baseball. So that is pretty exciting. There is a reason that the Aviators are on pace and should soon surpass the Miami Marlins for season attendance this year. Quite an accomplishment when you look at the plethora of sporting events that we have going around here in Las Vegas. And really, this is something we've known for years, right? The amount of entertainment and other options that we have. And even more impressive is that they're drawing the way they're drawing as we hit these ridiculously hellish temperatures. So as I mentioned, we're a little preempted today, but that's okay because we got a lot of good stuff to go to. This is going to be a fun show, Nick Nice, and I say that because no guests. We're going guestless, and you know how it is. We're getting into the summer, right? We're ramping up for football, but baseball, basketball, hockey, they've closed down. No football yet. It's very much the baseball show. Now, I did mention when I talk about football ramping up, that means coming down the pipeline here in a couple weeks, the release of Madden 20. Now, we'll get to that because we have a few players across the league that are very upset. They're very sensitive, these NFL players, Nick. Very sensitive. They don't like when the ratings come out. I mean, you heard a little bit from the intro there from Keenan Allen. He was upset he was an 89. Keenan, 89's not bad.
You know, I thought about this earlier because Matt Perrault talked about this earlier on Pushing the Odds here on 920 The Game earlier today, and I run the board for that show, and I was thinking to myself, what if they had a rating system for radio people?
Oh, God.
How would we like that? You know what I mean?
I wouldn't listen to it. I'd be happy I have a job, I'm getting paid, and I wouldn't worry about what other people think about me, which is essentially how I mean, there are rating systems for radio people, right? It's called salary.
Well, yes and no, but I mean, just think about if someone were to actually take the time and say, like, okay, Ryan McKinnell, he's a 90.
Wouldn't care.
It's like, okay, so his beard is powerful. His beard is like a 80, or is like a 95.
Whoa, 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 yeah. My beard is at least in the 90s. Now you've triggered me. Now you've triggered me, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know exactly how someone said Ryan McKinnell.
Well, wait, you were talking about radio skills. You didn't say they were going to be attacking my beard.
But no, it's all encompassing.
Well, no, my beard I take very seriously.
Because
I don't have those are opinions that are very valid to me. When someone brings up my radio skill, I don't care what you have to say. You critique my beard, though. This is you're crossing a very thin line.
It's all a part of being critiqued for radio. You have a face for radio. Not you in general. I'm just saying that would be like a category.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you prefaced that by saying not you, Ryan, because we did have Shaq in on Friday and he said I was sensitive. So now I feel like every time someone's going to insult me, they're going to be like, hey, Big Mac, I know you're a sensitive guy. Just
because Shaq said you're sensitive.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, think about it. I mean, if there actually was a video game for radio and the categories were stuff like, you know, like the greatest voice or best listening skills and you know what I mean? And production skills and on-air presence and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you get upset if they started to critique you in areas where you were like, what?
No, they don't matter. They don't matter. What anyone says, it's like when my mom says something.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the same exact thing, but, you know, I love you, Mom. But your mom's always going to give you positive affirmation, right? At least that's my mom. My mom's not a hater like that.
Unless you have a realist mom.
Right. Well,
listen, my mom will make fun of me, put me in my place, do a lot of different things. But when it comes to, you know, work or radio, oh, everything was, it was great. It, yeah, was level, it was right, great. Right. So I you got to take that with a grain of salt. The flip would be said about anyone who is going to judge me on radio. Now, I do want to put a pause in that. We're going to tease that because that's coming up in about 15 minutes because I want to hear from Keenan Allen. I want to hear from some NFL players. And I want to get into the sensitivity. And we can circle back on this, what my ratings would be and how
I should play some Ralph Tresvant.
Offended I would actually be. But actually, as we kick off the show, Dick, I do want to kind of celebrate for a couple reasons. I want to celebrate American indulgence, American stupidity, and American laziness. And I throw myself all into this category.
Okay.
It's Prime Day, baby.
Oh, Amazon Prime. I'm not.
I'm not.
I'm not giving in anymore. I'm stopping my Prime account.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Is this all this bluster? Because you're saying I'm stopping as in it's going to be coming down the pipeline. It will happen soon. That's like someone saying, I'm going to quit cocaine. I'm going to quit tobacco. I'm going to quit eating fried chicken and drinking Pepsi.
I'm
going to
quit visiting.
The best laid plans, Nick.
I'm going to quit visiting the ladies of the night on Tropicana.
Exactly. The best laid plans, Nick.
No, I'm waiting for it to stop because the debit card that it was attached to, I no longer have that card because it's been, you know.
Okay, you're waiting for it to stop until Prime Day is over so you can get all the great deals and then tip out?
No, my Prime account, you know, you're streaming and all that. Yeah. So it's paid for itself like for one more month. And no, I refuse to give my money to Bezos. He's too rich. Well, he's the richest man in the world.
Turns out you're not exactly wrong. I have a very limited moral compass. I try to do well. I try to practice what I preach. I try to be a good citizen. I don't shop at certain mega stores. I try not to.
I try to shop.
Well, if they're going to pay me, I mean, I'm definitely going to shop at the W. Are you kidding me? Like, again, flexible moral compass.
Yeah.
Right. But I try to shop local. I try to spend money within, you know, Henderson or, you know, Vegas.
I could just see you now. All right, come on, honey. Let's go down to the local store to support our owners. And then, like, ding, ding on the Prime. What's this?
Wait, did you just say owners? We can't use that term anymore.
Oh, the local people who have a shop down here that they sort of, like, yeah, accrued. Anyway, procured.
Sure. I feel like it works.
No, I could just see you just like, what? Wait, what's this? An Amazon deal. Two pairs of underwear for $1.99. Sign me up.
Yeah, that happened. Con Air. Whoa, 1600 watt compact hair dryer with folding handle, dual voltage travel hair dryer.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Cop for $9. No, I didn't need it, but the wife needed it.
Well,
it was like normally $39. It was $9. What do you want me to do? Not buy it?
You jumped on it.
Yeah. Got her some sunglasses. I got a 24 pack of Sylvania light bulbs that were normally $40. Got them for $11. Now that I actually needed. That I actually need. I'm just going to run down my whole shopping list, man. On Prime Day. Got a Ninja blender. Shout out Ninja. Please pay me. Sponsor something. Wildcard Wednesday perhaps tomorrow.
They
got that
everything.
Half. Hey, I got that half off. And in fairness, I'm not just buying stuff. I mean, okay, maybe like did the wife actually need a compact travel hair dryer? I mean, probably a little bit. I feel like I made her life a little bit easier. But let's be honest, Nick. I got her the hair dryer to make up for, well, the watch that I didn't need. The new wallet that I didn't need. And let's be honest, I'm probably going to use that Ninja blender more than her. So I got her a pair of sunglasses and a hair dryer to make up for my exorbitant spending. And not exorbitant, it's Prime Day, Nick.
That's why I was asked you, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about the Aviators game as you showed up earlier.
Right.
Now I know why you forgot about the
Prime
Aviators
Day
game.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. No, there's priorities. That's working on rundowns or caring about what I'm going to be doing over on Cofield and Company from 3 to 6 here in a little bit. This was, my favorite therapeutic repair lotion. It was on sale. It's normally $21. I got it for $12.
Wow.
Now, is Jeff Bezos the next Lex Luthor? Yeah, possibly. Is he going to take over the world and control everything and instill himself as president for 4 terms? Probably. Will I be responsible for it? Probably.
All y'all.
But I got a $14 Yankee candle and a $8 pair of sunglasses to go with my $9 Conair travel hair dryer for my wife.
And it's all coming from China in those crappy little bags?
I don't know.
I mean, what is up with the shipping from China now?
Do I really care?
Well, yes.
That's the care. That's the rub here. I pretend that I care, but when push comes to shove, like so many in America, I don't. Like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has political beliefs that do not vibe with me.
But you put that chicken in front of your face.
Oh, my stomach has no moral compass. My stomach has no moral compass.
I thought about that, too, the other day as I pulled out of their drive-thru.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
We just gave, like, 20 ads to companies that are never going to pay us. We suck at radio.
So as I'm wearing my Nike Reeboks and I'm taking this Advil right now, like, I remember Wayne's World?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's here, the taste of a new generation.
Take this little different yellow.
There's people out there that are like, Wayne's World, what? We're old, dude. We're old.
Party
so,
on.
So, yes, I would like to say that I'm not partaking in Prime Day, that I am a man of the people, and that I'm trying to make the place a better world, and I fight for robot apocalypse here on the Mac Attack all the time, telling you about how the robots will take over. Meanwhile, Amazon is run by robots and they are taking over. Pretty soon, they're going to be delivering our packages via drone. And here's the real kicker. There's a report coming out. Certain Amazon workers have spoken about this year's Prime Day. We've had, and for those that don't know, I feel like I've set this whole thing up. Prime Day is a two-day event at Amazon where they offer ridiculous deals. And if you're a Prime member, you can take advantage of them. They have lightning deals and all this other stuff.
Clearing out all their crap.
Right. But this falls directly on the employee, which I do feel terrible about. I'll say this. I could have went a lot worse. As I was buying all this stuff, Nick, there was a little thing in the back of my head was like, you know, you're making other people's lives terrible from this. So I pulled back a little bit. I would have ordered more. So I guess this is me like... Hopefully in 5 years, I just won't use Amazon at all.
I could just see you right now. Two windows open on your computer. You're like, robot stories. Yeah, robots suck. Oh, wait. Amazon. Click. Therapeutic, Prime. Yep.
Therapeutic repair lotion. Yes.
Wife's hair dryer. Click. More stories for automation killing jobs. Click. Yep. Oh, wait. Yep.
It's pretty accurate as to how it actually happened.
Oh, God.
I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry, America. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. It's just so damn hard. Giving me 75% off. It's going to be here tomorrow. I don't have to get in my car and drive in 111 degree heat and park my car in a parking lot and go in.
No.
And potentially risk a stroke.
I am a stubborn ass mofo.
Yes. You don't watch baseball.
I gave up on baseball. You're right. That's the start of it. Back in 1999 when they started talking about striking again. I said, peace. I'm done. Gave up. I really did.
How dare those workers want more money?
There's a really famous, I don't know if it's the famous, this is like probably the most known taco joint out here in Vegas.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of them.
Let's not give them a plug.
We're not.
Okay.
We're not. That's why I didn't mention them. But no, I boycott them because they raised their prices. They had a day of the week where they had a certain taco that was only a certain amount of money.
God forbid that you lived in like 1982. And, like, everything's more expensive. You wouldn't have anything to buy or eat. No, inflation would just, like, ruin everything for you.
They put this big piece of paper on their windows and said, sorry, we have to raise prices.
Times change,
no,
bro.
No, it's nonsense.
My favorite barbecue place did the same thing and by a lot.
But guess what? Your local, that barbecue joint you're talking about, isn't opening new stores everywhere. This place is. They just opened up another one by my house that I have not been to because I refuse to give these people my money. But they raised prices saying, oh, it's the, you know, we're just only passing on because prices are being raised on us. It's like, no, you guys are opening new stores all the time. You have one here. It's like 7-Eleven here in Vegas for these taco places, man.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't go to that major... I almost said it, that, you know, that, what did you say earlier today? That major store where you can buy everything?
Yes.
I don't shop there anymore either. I haven't spent a dime there in many, many years.
Yeah, me too. I'm proud of that. I feel like we can change.
You vote with your dollar.
Yeah, I feel like changing from Amazon is going to be really difficult, though, because they just make it so damn easy. Anyway, the employees were talking about the horrible conditions for Prime Day. Get this. They're calling it Hell Month. They work overtime and they don't get much extra money. But get this. As a bonus incentive... one of the higher ups at Amazon's, you know, was trying to lay it in pretty thick about how it's not as bad as they make it sound, and they give them bonuses. Not money, though.
Yeah.
Things like granola bars.
I was going to say stuff like, here's an extra bottle of water.
Nick, a granola bar?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being on your 13th hour at an Amazon warehouse, being surrounded by robots and pressure and making one-day shipping manifestos and all that stuff, and then they come by with a granola bar and reward you for all your hard work?
And it's not even the flavor you wanted?
Oh, God, don't you get me started on that.
It's like this. I would
almost rather have you just give me a crappy one.
I'd rather just not work there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I could hate my life anymore.
Yeah. So that's exactly another reason why I don't want to give my money to this type of thing.
Now, wait a minute. You stopped watching baseball in 99 because you supported the owners and not the players, but here you sit 20 years later and you're defending the worker.
Well, in 1999, I was also having my head on wrong. You know, okay. I should have thought about it differently.
So you're saying you're a different individual. You've grown.
Well, yeah. Now that I realize that the players were just trying to get more money from the really greedy a-holes, then I would have looked at it differently. But I was such...
Revolution!
You have to really realize, I still have my team set from 1989, the A's. I still have my baseball cards from when I was a kid. Like
me too.
You open it up, the first three pages are Mark McGwire. You
know my what I mean? Mom, the year I was born in 1983, went out and bought the complete set of Fleer, Donruss, and Topps. So yeah, I have the whole complete set from 83.
So you know how we do and how passionate we were.
But I stayed a baseball fan. You sold out.
That's okay. I'm not going to lose any sleep about that.
We're going to swing you back around. We're going to get you into this new era.
I never stopped.
With the Trouts, with the Harpers.
I never stopped believing in my 49ers, though, I'll tell you that.
Well, there you go. Well,
Sean Hill and all the other crappy quarterbacks that we had, Drunken Miller and some guy with an Italian name.
You really going to sit here as a Niners fan and talk to a Bears fan about bad quarterbacks? Get out of here and hit the button for the opening round before this place goes off.
I'm going to choke you.
It's the opening round. Brought to you by VIP Collision.
I guess just two words, Jay Cutler. That's really all you need to say about that one.
Actually, Jay Cutler is the greatest Chicago quarterback in the history of the Bears. It's not even up for debate.
More reason why.
That's how
bad it is for
you. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for bringing that up. Also, the Niners, since we're on this Niners-Bears conversation.
Yeah, we took him. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, you prick. Robbie Gould, two-year deal, the San Francisco 49ers.
After he talked all that crap about him.
Kinda. I think he just really wanted to be in Chicago. He didn't want the franchise tag.
Yeah, his family's there.
Yeah. He's only there because they left from Chicago.
Money talks, man.
Bears would have paid him. I hope. Theoretically. I'm still not over the double doink, man. I don't even want to talk about football.
I would be excited if I were you.
I mean,
Trubisky looks like to be the real deal.
Even though he's only rated, what? A 75? In the upcoming Madden 20? That's ridiculous. Or is it? I don't know. I mean, he didn't show a lot last year. I get it. 75 is at the bottom of the pecking order, if you will.
And what's Mahomes? The number one, right?
I believe, yeah, I'm going to it right now. I believe he's at the top of the food chain. Yeah, he's a 97.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, not.
No, it is. It is. From the standpoint that he's only played one year. Yeah, and now listen, I know you all are listening. Madden, I don't play Madden. I mean, I know a lot of you also do. But I mean, there's some of you that are listening that don't. Just think of the ratings as preseason rankings for fantasy. That's also the way you could look at this. I mean, the people that put in the time on the Madden ratings, they're not dummies. Like, Madden is a billion-dollar moneymaker. Yeah. They do their due diligence, right?
One of the guys was on Levitard yesterday, and I was listening to it.
And they do live updates, so they change the stats throughout the year.
They go real in-depth on how they accrue or whatever the word is, 100%. How they gather all these different avenues for how they determine things.
Yeah, they're very intricate. So, you mentioned it. Pat Mahomes coming in as the top-rated QB in Madden 20. At 97, Tom Brady bringing up second, very close behind, essentially 96. Equal 96. Rivers, Phillip Rivers coming off a career year.
95, I'm guessing.
Nope, 94.
Oh.
So a two-point divide there. Another two-point drop to 92, which is Andrew Luck. 91 is Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers is 90.
Wow, Drew Brees is not in the 90s?
Yeah, which is really surprising.
What?
Yeah, actually... He should be. I'm looking at the list, and he is not accounted for. So I'm looking at the NFL update Twitter page, which listed off a lot of them. They don't have Breeze in there. I would imagine Breeze has to be in the 90s. He has to be. He has to be. He's got to be like a 91 or a 90. If Aaron Rodgers is a 90, that's where Breeze has to be. Matt Ryan in 89, Ben Roethlisberger in 85, Cam Newton in 84. Goff in 83. Baker Mayfield coming up as an 83, along with Goff, outranking the likes of Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Mariota, your boy Jimmy G. And who's last on this list?
Where was Jimmy G?
Jimmy G was a 79.
Oh.
78, actually.
Wow.
Only 3 points ahead of my guy Mitch, my man Mitch. So Mitch Trubisky coming in at 75. But I'm telling you, man, these players, this is a serious business for them. They all grew up playing Madden. You heard it in the intro there, courtesy of Nick. Madden has now been, good God, it's 27th year?
Yeah, it was like 89. It came out, I think, on Macintosh.
Oh, wow.
Potentially, I believe. It was 88, 89, and then...
Now, I didn't play computer Madden. I only played SNES.
Sega Genesis.
Super Nintendo, yeah. I had Nintendo.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first
92,
year...
92, 93?
91, I believe, was the
first
year
Madden,
for,
okay.
on the consoles that right. we were... And then 92 was... Like it blew, started blowing up.
And yep. And I mean, I played Tecmo Bowl and I played all that, but Madden was the first one to really offer a.
Well, you.
Could, any sort of semblance of reality.
Well, and the fact of the play calling in Tecmo Bowl was stupid. I mean, it was cool at the time, but
it was cheap.
It was stupid because yeah. if the player on the defense guessed your play on offense, you had no shot whatsoever.
Yeah, it was cheap.
And it
and
was
everyone
just like,
could
come on,
see
that
your plays because there wasn't online and you were playing your buddies that were sitting next to each other.
And you only had the four plays to pick from.
Right. So it definitely brought in certain advancements, right? Now here we sit a couple weeks away from the release. And these players...
Drew Brees, 92.
Okay, that makes sense. So Drew Brees is the same as Andrew Luck. And ahead of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, which I'm completely fine with. Rodgers at a 90, 7 points behind Pat Mahomes. I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't.
Not when you look at what he's done throughout his career and one of the best of his generation. Mahomes had one great year, and it was a great year. I don't know. I'd love to actually have someone from Madden on to talk about that. Is it? Clearly, it's not ranked on prior accomplishments because if it were, Aaron Rodgers would be a little bit higher and Pat Mahomes would be a little bit lower.
And Tom Brady wouldn't be as high as he is.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they're giving Tom Brady all the, like,
a legacy
push. Yeah,
yeah. At 96, absolutely. And he's a great quarterback still. Should definitely be in the 90s. I also think this has something to do with Pat Mahomes being on the cover.
Well, of course.
When you got your guy that you're out there that you're pimping your new game with, it doesn't hurt to have him as a 97. Top-rated running back, Todd Gurley coming in at 97. Ezekiel Elliott at 94. Le'Veon Bell at 92. Followed in the same breath by Melvin Gordon. Saquon Barkley is at 91. Kareem Hunt at 90. Top-rated wide receiver comes as no surprise. DeAndre Hopkins down there in Houston. Absolute beast. He would be my top one.
99.
99. Here's my issue. Julio Jones is a 98. If you're going to have Hopkins as a 99, you have to have Julio as a 99 because the numbers that he has put up in his first 6-7 years in the league are unrivaled. He is one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. So is Hopkins.
Julio
Hopkins,
is ridiculous.
He is. And so is AB. AB coming in at 98. So AB and Julio at 98, OBJ at 96, and a list of others. Actually, I'd say wide receiver is where everyone is rated the highest, and that is where we get to the crying. I can't believe, we were talking about it earlier, right? You were like, well, what if they had a rating system for radio? I wouldn't care. I wouldn't pay attention. A doubly goes for anyone in the NFL like a Keenan Allen making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Listen to Keenan Allen. Who? Keenan Allen, wide receiver for the Chargers, right? Listen, not a bad rating. He's coming in at an 89. He's ahead of, or he's tied with Julian Edelman. He's ahead of Emmanuel Sanders, ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster, ahead of Brandon Cooks, ahead of Alshon Jeffrey. He's ahead of some really good wide receivers, ahead of Allen Robinson. My guy out there in Chicago, by like 3 points, he's an 89. But listen to how salty Keenan Allen is when he finds out this dude was ranked as an 89.
I will not be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75, like... Bro, who's making this? What? Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69. Like, I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game. Pro Bowl back, 1,000. I don't understand. What's up?
A Pro Bowl back-to-back, 1,000, and he starts trailing off there at the end of his accomplishments, right? Because I think if he would have kept talking, he would have realized he's about an 89. I'm just going to go off the stats from last year, and you tell me if I'm crazy. One of the best offenses in the league, and I know that you know, ball gets spread around. I get it. 6 touchdowns, tied for 22nd in the league. Let's just start there. 6. He had 6, man. He had 6 touchdowns. You were on the other side of five, so you were closer to double digits than zero, but you had six. 1,196 receiving yards, 15th in the league, 97 receptions, 12th in the league. Good numbers. Good, which is what 89 is. If we're going off last year, and I'm sorry, Keenan Allen, but when you look at the list of those wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Thomas, Ty Hilk.
He's a solid A minus B plus.
Yes, which is exactly where you should be. But it doesn't, it goes back to what you were saying, like Big Mac, what if they did radio ratings? All the more reason, number one, not to pay attention, because then, of course, you're going to feel some sort of certain way. You're going to feel you're confident. You should be. You should feel like you're on some version of the best, especially if you're playing in the NFL and you are a Pro Bowler. I get it. But then you come out and you whine and you cry. You just look weak. You look like Durant making the burner account to argue with dumbass fans on social media. None of this matters.
Yeah, I know none of it matters, but it's fun. Those guys...
Is it fun to be that sensitive and to have that live forever? Like, he was truly in his feelings. Like, he was like, man, bruh, the guy play, if this guy's got this.
Now, if he actually doesn't play, then yeah, he's a salty little, you know what. And then take it for what it's worth. But as far as I'm concerned, it's fun. You know, if I was an NFL player and I felt like, you know what, like my speed, what? I'm faster than that. Like, you know what? I might go on my Twitter account and say something. You know, I'm not going to be here like, oh my God, it's the end of the world and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you're being critiqued by guys who don't do it. You know what I mean? You're ultimately being critiqued by guys who have never strapped up, most likely, to the level that they're at.
Sure.
And then you're being critiqued by somebody who's never done it.
Even more reason not to make care. A video and put it out for the whole world to see you being feeling some sort of way in your feelings.
Did you know what I took away from that audio? How no. awesome his car sounded. Did you hear as he's just...
Well, you're the car guy.
Yeah, I mean, just like, he's stopping and going here.
It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking?
Listen to
my that. Strength is 69, like I'm so a little faint. Boy. I'm just not understanding.
It's so faint. I just love that there's that little hum, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's a serious car.
That's a nice V8.
You could tell.
It's a rumbling. It's probably like a Maserati or a... Who knows? Maybe he's got a Corvette.
Maybe. I'd have something... Just ridiculous, but not too ridiculous. That's the other thing about athletes. They all go out and get the same dumbass cars. They all go out and get the, I don't know, the $250,000 Mercedes, or they all go out and get whatever.
Which is insane, too, because if you're only making, like, say, I don't know, you know, $60 million in 4 years,
yeah.
That sounds like a lot of money, and it is.
It
but
is.
Then you also have to think about all the taxes that are coming.
No,
you have
is.
To think about
yeah, no,
all
no.
the other things
yeah,
that come
yeah,
with
no.
that. And
Still.
Then you're spending $250,000 on that one vehicle, but also, you know how much money... comes into a vehicle like that. Brake jobs alone will probably cost you like $2,000 or $3,000.
And that's the reason why one of the reasons why, but more so uniqueness, I would go get a classic.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want like a six Chevelle or, you know, a
sweet ass 69 Camaro SS,
sure, an
or
SS,
something
yeah,
like that.
Or an old Eleanor. If you like Mustangs,
yeah,
right? From Gone in 60 Seconds. Just something like that. Something with some character.
Cadillac Eldorado.
Sure, 64 Impala.
Big as it could be.
There's just so many different things you could do and put your own spin and character to it. Instead, they all go out and buy the most expensive new ride, and I don't know. It's like BMWs in Vegas.
You're just
a
hater.
You got a BMW 3 Series. How cute. You and every other host and accountant and cage worker and valet, and it's just, I don't get it. There's just no uniqueness to it. I don't know. I don't know. Be a life coach for NFL players on how to spend their money.
How to be unique.
Yeah. How to spend their money. Let me spend your money.
That is, you know, there's probably somebody out there.
Oh, there has to be.
Just like that.
That's going to be my gimmick for the next years, though, on the Mac Attack. I'm just going to speak to any potential athletes. That's what I should have done with Shaq. You were bummed that Shaq, you know, didn't bring you on as a voice guy. I should have been like, hey, Shaq, you need someone to help you spend your money?
You need somebody to tell you how to dress? And
I'm like... Oh, no, I'm not going to tell him how to dress. He looked great. Actually, I would tell him exactly how he dressed. He came in and white t-shirt, basketball shorts, and like the greatest pair of sunglasses I've ever seen.
Those were really cool sunglasses.
Yeah, I don't even know what they were. They were like a mix between like some high-end like 2000s glasses and some like Oakley, Conseco, Bash Brothers. I don't even know what they were. They were dope.
Safe to say those glasses probably cost as much as my Civic sitting out.
Yeah,
in,
definitely,
in the parking
probably.
Lot.
Yeah, wear a car on your face. And that's why athletes, Pro Bowlers, All-Stars, I want you to let me spend your money. This is the Mac Attack. We'll be back in a second. It's a
I just want to dance.
I'm actually really pushing the limits of our Cruel Summer Bananarama gimmick here. Because right now, I said we'd play the song every day. It was 105 degrees and over. Right now, I'm reading 104.
I was about to say it's 104. I have a feeling.
I know.
Oh, God.
I love the damn song so much. I wanted to hear it. Look at him skipping around the rooftops.
What's that, a payphone? You're using a payphone.
What's that? It is a blast from the past. The hair, the lack of cell phones.
I was about to say that their 80s look is actually not too bad.
No, it's not bad.
Their hairdos are actually kind of current. So.
Yeah. Well, the 80s are making a comeback. Wait, that's the thing about like generations now.
All right.
Like, what was the last original generation? Like the 90s and hip hop and like baggy pants and all that? It has to be.
No, I would even go back further, like the 50s.
What?
The 50s, like the whole doo-bop, shoo-bop,
but that was original, sure. But then the 60s was original with the counterculture and the hippie movement. And then the 70s with the kind of the continuation of that. The 80s were super original with the big hair and the robot chic and the, you know, all the style that came from that. And then, yeah, the hip-hop fads of the 90s and the baggy pants and graffiti and neon. But after that, starting in like 99... it's just been a retread.
Regurgitation.
Right? Like in high school in the 90s, for me, we all wore bell bottoms and had like corduroys, and there was a resurgence of the 60s style, right? There was. And then like in the mid millennium, it was like kind of just like, you know, jerseys again and kind of biting early 90s hip hop stuff. That's still happening now in a big way. Like 90s hip hop, like the high top fades, that's back. A lot of the neon's back.
The non-fade haircut, that's what's blowing my mind.
Yeah, there's that. I guess skinny jeans, but I'm not going to call like skinny jeans like a generation-defining style thing that like made it completely original. I mean, I can't really tie them to any other generation, but I wouldn't say they're particularly original or, like I said, define a generation.
I just think
I'm sticking with it. 90s were the last original generation.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
I feel like it.
I thought you said, I didn't, when I said the 50s, I guess I didn't take into consideration you said last.
Yeah, yeah. Like the last original.
Yes.
American decade, right? I feel like the millennium, 2000s, and the 2010s. The 2010s, there's nothing original about the 2010s. Now, technology and certain things have happened and, you know, society has changed. But as far as style goes, I'm just waiting for people to get real crazy. Like The Weeknd did it for a second. Like when The Weeknd came out, it looked like, you know, his like hair was just like cutting all different directions. Like they're just going to come out. Like one generation is going to come out and be like, you're all whack. Every single one, your grandparents are whack, my parents are whack, the 30-year-olds are whack, and they're just going to come out and do something crazy. I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe they just wear, like, brown paper bags, and they're, like, super minimalist, and, like, nothing matters, and they're all just, like, little nihilists. I don't know. I'm waiting for something original to come along.
I can see that. I mean, just think about what we're seeing right now. I mean, since, what, 2005-ish, the Camaro and the Mustang started to look like the old versions again. Like, there's no originality with that.
Oh, movies!
Just about to say, movies. I mean, like, what's in the movie theater right now? Coming out, there's, like, Terminator. Yeah. Terminator, Toy Story's out still.
Yeah.
There was a few more, I forget.
They're redoing everything.
On.
They're bringing back Coming to America, which is they redid Ghostbusters. Yep. Lion King. Aladdin just dropped a few weeks ago.
So, there's, like, zero originality. There's zero... I don't know, attempt to be original?
Yeah, well, I mean, we got some, the black community was putting out some good stuff. We saw Us, and we saw Get Out by Jordan Peele. Those were great films. Like, I'm just, like, those were original. Get Out was supremely original.
I didn't see that.
It was a great movie. It's out there. I just don't feel like it's out there enough. I feel like generations are lazy.
I do like the fact that we had more Asian shows or more Asian push, like the Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah,
I love that show. Fresh Off
was,
the Boat.
And then there was that Crazy Rich Asians movie that drew well.
Yep,
that drew really well.
It's about time we're making a push, man.
Well, you're not. I mean,
instead of always being typecast into some kung fu karate guy.
Yep, 100%.
Or just the guy with the bad Asian accent.
Short Round from Indiana Jones. Oh, Dr. Jones. Oh, Dr. Jones.
Or what about the one from the Molly Ringwald time? Remember that one Asian guy who was in a lot
kid.
Of those?
Wasn't that the same kid, the kid from Goonies?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I could be. You see, we all look alike. I get it. I know.
No, I'm just I'm just blending my eras. I'm just like. I mean, it is kind of racist. I was like, wasn't the Asian kid the same Asian kid from the Goonies and the same Asian kid
totally
from...
Same. Well, yeah, he had the accent and everything. Yeah.
He was a stereotype just like the others. It is true, though. Hopefully we're getting on the other end of that. So there we go. That could be original in the sense that we're progressing. Maybe.
When are we going to get an Asian superhero in the Marvel comic universe? That's what's up. Do we have one? There isn't
one. Yeah, the guy who was supposed to be Iron Fist, the Kung Fu guy, was white.
See? Can't even get that.
Sorry, man.
It's like, we're known for karate and kung fu and all this stuff, but yet they can't even put us in a movie that's like has a lot of kung fu and karate and stuff.
It's true. Let's think of Asian representation in film. Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, Jet Li.
Well, even the whole Marvel comic universe. I mean, Black Panther and what? I mean, where else is the ethnicities? Where else is the minorities? They're
not a lot.
That's why
That's why they had to make Black Panther so badass.
And that's why Black Panther made so much damn money, because the black folks were like, hell yeah, it's about damn time.
Even think about that. Let's get those Asian superheroes out there.
Where's the Mexicans? Get some Colombians up in there. You know,
there's some Marvel nerds out there that are listing off like three Mexicans and three Asians that we haven't thought of. Well, actually, X-Men Unlimited 323, and this man made a debut. Now he only showed up for three episodes. Okay.
I got to Google this then.
Right? All right. Speaking of superheroes and characters, Nick.
Yes.
You hear this James Bond controversy?
Yeah, something about the casting of the woman?
Yeah.
Is it because she's black? Or
I think it's a combination of everything. I think it's the perfect storm. Grew up on. This is like Ariel from a couple weeks ago.
I was just about to say, it's not my Ariel.
That's not a white red-headed mermaid. Again, dumbasses, it's fiction. 007... can be whatever the creators of 007, Ian Fleming, and whoever else want them to be. Ariel, even more so. We were just talking about Asian representation in superhero movies. It's nil. How many black female badasses do you think there has been? You talk about representation. How many do you think there's been? None? Zero? In terms of actual legitimacy? Now, here's the real issue. Of course, upon hearing this news, oh my God, there's going to be a black girl that's going to be James Bond, 007? Heads were exploding all across the entertainment industry and social media. People were losing their minds. Little we find out, it's not actually, she's not James Bond. She's not going to be James Bond. This isn't, hey everyone, here's this black lady, her name's James. Nope, that's not what's happening. Apparently what happens in this new movie is James Bond is out. The James we know.
Yeah.
Who also, like now we're complaining that James Bond was James Bond, Sean Connery in 1967, but Pierce Brosnan was also, I guess, that same James Bond. Like, everyone was James Bond. It's just like, James Bond, James Bond, James Bond. Everyone was named James Bond. No one ever had a problem with that, that he, like, aged in reverse or, like, got better or had different incarnations. It's a fictional character. It's not real. Anyway, I'm just, like, kind of blowing my own mind. Here's what's actually happening in the new movie. James Bond, Daniel Craig, is out. He's apparently doing other things and not. I don't know if a 007 ever is fully retired, but I guess in this movie, he's about as close as it comes, right? Viewers find out about, I believe pretty soon into the movie, that there's a new 007. And that new 007, not James Bond, just the name, in the James Bond world, the 006, you know, Agent 008, whatever it may be, the new 007 is going to be LaShasha Lynch, a black woman. That's it. She's not James Bond. She's just the new 007.
Yeah.
So I guess her and Bond end up working together.
She should be called 008.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't know how that works. Maybe we'll find out how people get labeled. Right? They end up working together. And I actually like this caveat to the story. Bond ends up trying to sleep with her, apparently. He tries to put his moves on her.
Imagine that.
Right. And she's not with it. She doesn't give in to the James Bond machismo and does her own thing. How is that not great? How is that not great? For 25 movies, James Bond has screwed and humped every single female that has been on that television or that movie screen with him. And this is the one, a strong black female, that says, nah, dude, let's take care of business. It's a great pivot for the story because times are changing. It's not a dog whistle or a signal. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but I was watching a clip from Ben Shapiro. He's a conservative commentator, and he was losing his mind. He's saying things like, well, how's a woman going to seduce other women? How's 007 as a female going to represent that machismo and that sexuality? Like, dumbass, you didn't even stick around to hear the whole plot point. You just ran with this idea that they're replacing James Bond. They're going to make this movie with a black woman. Even if they do, who cares? You've got 25 movies for 40 years with a white British dude representing James Bond. Can you put a pause on it for 10 years and let a black woman play it? And that's not even what's happening. That's not even what's happening. But in that world, what is the problem with it? Are you that sensitive? Are you that up in your own feelings? Are you James Bond's mom? Are you Daniel Craig's brother? Are they taking food off of your I just don't understand. I don't understand why people care so much about fictional characters.
Change, man.
Yeah, change is fine. I mean, change is fine. Change is exciting. What, you want to... Okay, for the 26th movie, you want to sit down and watch another white British man play 007 so you can bitch about that? That's not the James Bond. I remember when Daniel Craig got signed into this. People were like, oh, he's too skinny. He's too frail. He's too nerdy.
He's blonde.
Yeah, he's too blonde. Thank you. That was it at the time. Yeah. He was blonde and skinny. Yeah. Now, 10 years later, he is arguably the greatest James Bond to ever play him.
And now, 10 years later, we have one with boobs. Oh, my God. Mind blown.
Man, I wish this were the case. I actually wish she was the new James Bond. I wish this was the story. It's not.
Real
but
quick,
I wish it were the case.
There are actually Asians in the Marvel comic universe.
All right.
The newest one, Mantis. She was Asian, I guess.
Oh,
they're showing her. Jubilee. Jubilee is apparently of an Asian background.
Jubilee was Asian?
Yeah. That's apparently, I do remember that.
Interesting. Not represented in the cartoon, though,
the
as Asian.
The Silver Samurai. Yeah. No, apparently it's Jubilee. Her Jubilee Lee. So.
Oh, I believe Elektra was Asian.
I'm a little behind here. We got 40 seconds. Who?
Oh, okay. Elektra. I want to say she was. You're right.
Silver Samurai.
Yep.
Those are about the most notable ones, though. So we do have some representation. We're getting there.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Onward and upward, Nick Nice.
I'm going to have to look up Hispanics next.
Man, we had so much we wanted to get to on this show, but we were preempted by the Aviators. We'll get to
Aviators
tomorrow. We'll bring it back for Wild Card Wednesday, including Bagel Boss Man. We talked about it yesterday. He was on my pal Luke Thomas show over there, Sirius XM.
I'll play that intro.
Yeah, we have the audio from that. So we'll hear from Bagel Boss tomorrow.
Sweet.
Maybe break into more what exactly this guy is doing, because I got to be honest, I'm not buying everything. It's Wild Card Wednesday. See you in 24 hours, friends.